الله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are different ways of examination. One way is that we have to write a such sheet, question paper, and we appear in the exam. Second way is that we get a questionnaire where two, three options are written in front of the questions, and we have to select one which is the good answer. And third way of examination is that someone asks us a question and we appear for Viva. We experienced a fourth way of examination in our university. Our electronics teacher's name was Sir Masroud, and he was a very capable professor. He was a very talented person, a very reputed person in the field of electronics. But generally, his image was very bad among the students. Students used to say that he is a cruel person, a butcher, and he does not give good marks to the students. So they used to make dua, we don't have a class with Sir Masroud. In our third year of university, my teacher was same Sir Masroud. I was very curious about him. As a teacher, he was a wonderful person. He used to explain each and every point until the concept was clear to the students. And also he was a very sympathetic person, a very kind-hearted person. And he was available for help anytime. In the class, outside the class, even in the day or in the night, if you can go to his home, he was available to explain, to help you. So my feelings were that he is the best teacher. And why the students, they give bad comments about him? When we studied one term with him, so he announced that, okay, now you are going to write a paper now. We were happy. Then he said that every one of you should try to read the book very carefully. You cannot miss a single line of your book, because if you will miss the line, then I will make the paper from the same line. So we prepared for our examination. 1 week before examination, he announced that in my paper, you will be allowed to bring your textbooks with you, and you can open the textbook and write the answer from the book. So we were surprised. Oh, what will be this paper that we will be allowed to open our textbooks and write the answers? We took it very easy. So the day we had our examination, every student brought a big book of electrical engineering and everyone was smiling. Oh, this paper will be very easy because we can open the book and we can write the answer from the book. So it's not a big deal. But when Sir Masood distributed the question papers, we were very surprised to read the question paper. The questions were from the course. But at the same time, we could not find a direct answer of this question from the book. So those people who studied the book very carefully and they had a very good concept of the subject, so they could find the answer from the book. So everyone was writing the answer of the question, but almost everyone was sweating. The students were surprised and they found it very difficult to get the answer from the book. It was a strange situation that every student has a book in his hand, he can open the book and he can write the answer. But to find the answer from the book was a difficult job. So we wrote our papers and we came out. All the students, they had different impressions. Some of them said it was a new experience. Some of the students said, our teacher is really very cruel teacher. Oh, he always puts the students in a difficult situation. And today, whatever question he made, he again put us in a very difficult situation. So the time passed by. After 1 week, so the professor brought the papers in the class. And he said that I have made marking of the book, of the paper, and I am going to distribute it. So all the students of the class, they were waiting that what is the result today. Luckily, I got my answer sheet in third or fourth number. So when I looked at the answer sheet, my number which I secured were only 9 out of 100. Oh, I could not believe it. I thought that maybe there must be another figure with 9, so my marks must be 95, 98, like that. Because throughout my engineering career, I used to secure marks like that. And it was first time in my life. And my numbers were 9 out of 100. I was surprised. But then he distributed all the papers and I found that all the students of the class were really very worried. Everyone looked in pain. So then Sir Masood said, okay, I am going out of the class and I will come back after 15 minutes and you can check your papers and if you have any question, then I can answer you. So he went out. So then he went out. I jumped to my one of the class fellow, whom I feel that he was my real competitor. So when I looked at his numbers, he had only 5 numbers out of 100. Then another one, 6 numbers. Then 7 numbers. And at the end, I found out that I secured 9 numbers out of 100 and I was first in the class and I was even failing the subjects. It means that all the students of the class were failing the subject. So now the students started giving their comments. Sir is very bad. Sir is very cruel. And I won't be able to tell my father that I secured 7 marks out of 100. One student said, if I will tell my mom, then she will stop my monthly expenses and I won't be able to stay in the hostel. And one student, he said that if I will tell my father, my parents, that I secured only 4 marks out of 100, so they will not support me in my education. One student said, I cannot go back home. I cannot show my face to my parents. I secured only 3 marks out of 100. So I listed all the comments. In the meanwhile, Sir Masood came back in the class. And he asked the students that, okay, how do you feel? The marking of your paper was good, proper, or what? The students, they shouted, Sir, you have really broken our hearts. You have affected our career. Who is going to select us as an engineer if he will see that we secured only 5 marks out of 100? So we will be rejected in the viva, in the interviews. So what you did with us? Sir Masood listened all the comments. Even some of the students, they spoke some of very hard words, but he had a big heart. He listened to everyone. Some of the students said that, Sir, it was a new style of your examination. Why you don't take examination like other professors? So Sir Masood, he listened every comment, and then at the end he said, okay, if you feel that the questions were very difficult and they were out of course and out of text, then let me take the person who secured the maximum marks. Who is the person? So I stood up in the class that I am the one who secured 9 marks out of 100. So Sir Masood said to the students that, listen to me carefully, your numbers, your marks out of 100 are the same which I gave you. But I will not affect your career. The number which I will send to the management will be different. We were surprised and we could not understand what he wants to do. Then he said, okay, if this Mr. Zulfiqar Ahmed, he secured 9 marks out of 100, why other students cannot secure 9 marks out of 100? So I will make his 9, 90. And all the other marks will be made relatively. For example, anyone who has 8 marks, his marks will be 80. Who secured 7 marks, his marks will be 70, like that. So in this way, all the students of the class, they had pass marks. So students were happy. So this was a new idea which we learned in our university. This is called relative marking. That you mark a person, keeping someone as a model, as a reference. That if this person can do this, why others cannot do this? When we studied subjects of hadith from our teacher, then our teacher told us that same way of marking will be adopted on the day of judgment. So on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make relative marking. How it will be done? That a person, he will stand up and he will say, oh Allah, I was the chief executive of the country. I was a very busy person. I could not make my prayers. I could not recite Quran. I could not do this. I could not do. There were so many issues and I had to solve all the issues. I was responsible for that. All the strategic problems I had to solve and I have to take care. I could not even sleep properly at night. So I do not have time to go to the masjid and to learn Quran or to recite Quran. So I could not do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam to stand up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell this person, look at this Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was the king of the human beings and king of the jinn, ghosts, and the king of the birds and animals and all the creation on the earth and all the creation in the water. With this much size of kingdom, he used to do everything according to my order. He spent his life 100% according to my pleasure. If he could do this with this much size of kingdom, why you could not do this? And the person will be answerless. Then a person will stand up. Allah will ask him, what you did in your life? He will say, oh Allah, I was a sick person. I had hepatitis C problem in my life. And I was always running behind the doctors and in the hospitals and to the test labs. And I was weak and exhausted all the time due to hepatitis C. So I could not make prayers. I could not recite Quran. I could not do any work of deen. I was so sick. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Ayyub alayhi salam to stand up. And Ayyub alayhi salam will stand up and Allah will say, okay, look at this. Ayyub alayhi salam was sick and his body had infection. Only his tongue remained healthy, otherwise the whole body was infected. So with this amount of infection, if he did everything according to my pleasure, according to my orders, according to my teachings, so why you could not do this? So this sick person, he will be silent and he will have no answers. So today we are spending our lifetime according to our own choice. But on the day of judgment, there will be so many people who will be from the same community, from the same circumstances, same environment. They would have lot of responsibilities, they will be busy people, but at the same time, they will be pious people. They will be spending their lifetime according to the sunnah of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these people will become reference for us on the day of judgment. And then we will be ashamed on the day of judgment that people did so much while they were in the same circumstances, but we could not do anything. So this relative marking will be done on the day of judgment. Let me give few examples to you. That Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki Rahmatullah Alayhi was a big sheikh of Tasawwuf. So one of his murid, he was Sultan Shamsuddin Al-Tamash. So Al-Tamash was the king of the time. And he told his sheikh that, Hazrat, I have four qualities. Number one, I never miss tahajjud in my life. Number two, that I always pray my prayers with takbir-e-ula, with jamaat in the masjid. And number three, that when I pray the salat with full absorption, with full concentration. And even I don't miss the four rakat of sunnah of asr in my life. I have never missed it. And number four, that in my life, I have never put a glance of lust on any ghair mahram. So if a person who is king of his time, he has these four qualities, so how we can make excuses that, oh Allah, we were very busy and we were very occupied with our assignments and we could not get time for prayers. Sahib Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a second example. He was king of his time, but at the same time, he spent a very simple life and he did not use the money of the Baitul Maal for his personal expenses. He used to write the Holy Quran because he had a very beautiful handwriting. And then from writing these Holy Quran, he used to earn some of the money and he used to survive on that. So look at this. King of the time is surviving on writing the Quran and getting a very small amount of money from that. I know one of a doctor, he is my friend, he is a surgeon, and he is a kidney specialist, and maybe a specialist in kidney transplant. So one day he said that, Hazrat, sometimes I have to stand for operation for continuous 9 hours. So a person who is busy for 9 hours in operating a patient. And then he said that, Hazrat, although I am busy for 9 hours continuous, still I don't miss my prayer. I was surprised. I asked, how do you pray when you are busy in this operation? He said that I always remain with wudu, and even I am operating, I am with wudu. I look at my watch and see that the time is now near for the prayer. So I tell my colleagues that you do this, and in 10 minutes I will again join you. So I take out my gloves, and then in the same operation theater, I have my musalla, I make my prayer, and then I again wash up, and within 10 minutes I again join with the team of the operation. So if this person is busy for 9 hours in operating a patient, and he does not miss his prayers, how on the day of judgment we will be able to make an excuse, oh Allah, we did not have time for our prayers. Some of the women, girls, they say, we are very busy. We have a lot of work. I go to the university, and when I come back, I help my mother in the household things. I am busy in the kitchen. I am busy in hosting the guests. So I don't have time. So many girls, they don't pray properly at their time. I know one of our students, so her name was Dr. Komal, and she did her medical from Fatima Jinnah Medical College. And in his final year, he received so many gold medals. So when the convocation was carried out, so the principal announced on the stage that this student has achieved 21 gold medal in her medical life. So what a brilliant student, 21 gold medal in medical field. In the same year, she appeared in the ALMA exam in our madrasa, and she stood first in the madrasa. It means that 22nd gold medal was from the madrasa. So if a student can have 21 gold medals, and at the same time she can excel in her medical field, so how other students can say, we are busy, we are in second year, third year of medical, so we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to learn the meanings of Quran, and we cannot learn this knowledge of Deen. These are lame excuses. If other people can do, we can also do. Last year in one of our madrasa, a woman whose age was 65 years, she wrote Bukhari Sharif paper and she succeeded. So if a woman of 65 years age can succeed in Bukhari Sharif paper, why other women cannot study? So this relative marking concept is very strange concept. And on the day of judgment, there will be so many people from our own society, our own community. They will have the same financial problems. They will have same family problems. They will have the same resources problems. But at the same time, they will be pious people, and they will be spending their lifetime according to the teachings of Deen and according to the Sunnah of the beloved Prophet. So they will become a reference for us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask from us, why you did not do this? and we will have no answer on the day of judgment. Look at this. A person who is a laborer, he is uneducated, and he earns only 5,000 rupees per month, and at the same time he has 6 children. So on the day of judgment, he will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will ask him, what you did in your life? He will say, oh Allah, I had the responsibility to feed 6-7 members of the family. I was alone. So I worked hard. I worked as a laborer. And 8 hours, I was doing this, this and this. And then I felt exhausted. I used to come back home and I was so exhausted that I could not do some other work. So I took rest. But, oh Allah, I raised up 6-7 members of the family, and this is only what I could do in my life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, yes, you had a big responsibility to support 7 members of the family, and you supported it, and you worked very hard. Okay, you can go to the paradise. Then his wife will come. Allah will ask her, what you did in your life? She will say, oh Allah, my husband used to earn only 5,000 in 1 month. And I had 6 children. So I had to spend each penny very carefully. I had shortage of resources. But I tried my best to manage these resources. And I raised up 7 children. And I am the mother of 7 children. I have come to you. Allah will say, okay, you are telling me the truth. You had a very limited resources and you survived in that and you raised up 7 children and now you can also go to the paradise. But then we will stand up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, okay, you are an engineer. You was a doctor. You was a officer in the government offices. Okay, what did you do for religion? And then we will say, oh Allah, we could not study the meanings of Quran in our life. Allah will say, I gave you trillions of brain cells, not only to study the subject of university, but to subject my holy book. Why you did not spare your time to learn the meanings of Quran? If you could understand science, if you could understand other subjects, mathematics and this and that, why you could not understand the Quran? Why, whereas I have described in Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلْزِكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ I have made this Quran easy for you. Is there anyone who can understand this Quran? So it was easy to understand. Why you did not try to understand the meanings? And we will have no answer for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can say us, okay, if you did not do anything for my deen, you are not allowed to go to the paradise. And we will be in trouble on the day of judgment. Then our wife will stand up. Allah will ask her, what you did in your life? And she will say, oh Allah, I did my master's in this subject. Allah will ask her, okay, did you learn the meaning of Quran? Did you learn Hadith, Bukhari Sharif? And she will say, no, I do not have the time to learn these books. What you did? Oh Allah, I raised up my children. I had 3 children. Allah will say, okay, you had a beautiful house and you have lot of money. Your husband used to earn 100,000 rupees per month. And you used to get help from the cook. You used to get help from the maid. So you had a lot of help in your house. And you had a car. And you had a driver. And you could go anywhere you want. So you enjoyed your life, but you did not spare your time for religion. Why? So wife will have no answer. And then she could get the answer, you are not allowed to go to the paradise. So we people who have studied in the best universities of the country, we will be in trouble on the day of judgment. If we could study dunya subjects, why could we not study the deen subjects? So the problem will be for us, not for a very poor person. Because there will be so many engineers and doctors who will be engineers and doctors, and at the same time, they will become alim. They became alim and they spent their life according to the Sharia and Sunnah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend our lifetime. I don't say that we should leave our jobs and just start studying the Holy Quran meanings. No, no, no. Whatever is required is only the spare time. For example, 8 hours we are on duty. Okay, you should give your duty. Then we come back home and we have 8 hours sleep. Okay, 16 hours. Then what about the rest 8 hours? Those 8 hours we spend in eating food, in talking to the family, in visiting our friends, and in purchasing few things from the market. So we have to manage that 8 spare hours of our life. Can we manage it in such a way that every day 1 hour or 2 hours we can spare and we can study the meanings of Quran? Today, there are so many institutions, they have online classes, Skype classes on Skype, and people from any part of the world, they can study, and they are sitting in their homes, in their own rooms. They don't have to go anywhere. Even a woman cannot have excuse, oh Allah, I am alone, I don't have any mahram to travel with me, to take me to the madrasa. Oh, you don't need to go to the madrasa. Stay at your home, and on Skype you can study Quran, you can study Hadith, you can study Deen. You can get the advices from the mashayikh, and you can learn Deen, and then you can spend your lifetime according to the Deen. So if all of these facilities are available there, we should also think that what we are going to give answer on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend a pious life in this world and to be a successful person on the Day of Judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. These were a few words of advice which I felt that I should tell you. And now we are going to make zikr. So please recite. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa salli. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل 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 نعم المولى ونعم النصير غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Again we should recite Druze Sharif. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي. Again, Druze Sharif. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا باقي أنت الباقي، يا باقي أنت الباقي، يا باقي أنت الباقي، يا باقي أنت الباقي، يا باقي أنت الباقي. درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، 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 لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين، 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 والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. 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 درود شریف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا، الله ولي الذين آمنوا الله ولي الذين آمنوا الله ولي الذين آمنوا الله ولي الذين آمنوا بالشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم مقطع بليز اللهم اوصل وبلغ صواب ما قرأنا ونور ما طلبنا بعد القبول عنا هديه واسطه منا الى طبيب قلوبنا وقره اعيننا وشفي ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين ثم الى جميع اخوانه من النبيين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعليهم اجمعين والى ال كل وصحب كل رضي الله تعالى عنهم اجمعين ثم الى ارواح الائمه المجتهدين والمفسرين والمحدثين ثم الى ارواح السادات الصوفيه المحققين خصوصا الى سادات القاضيه والنقشبنديه والسجيه والثوربيه والشاذيه والكبريه والمداري بتفاصيل السلاسل الشريفه من سيدنا ابي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه ومن سيدنا علي بن ابي طالب كرم الله وجهه رضي الله تعالى عنه سمعنا روح شيخنا ومسلمنا حضرت خواجه محمد فضل الكويشي رحمه الله تعالى عليه سمعنا روح شيخنا ومسلمنا حضرت خواجه محمد روح مالك صديقي رحمه الله تعالى عليه سمعنا روح شيخنا ومسلمنا حضرت سيد زوار حسين شاه رحمه الله تعالى عليه سمعنا روح شيخنا ومسلمنا حضرت سيد زوار حضرت سيد خواجه غلام حبيب رحمه الله تعالى عليه نور الله مرقده تاب الله سراه وجاهد السنه الفردوس مسواه ثم الى ارواح ابائنا وامهاتنا واجدادنا وجداتنا واخواننا واخواتنا وازواجنا وذرياتنا من الحاضرين والغائبين كافه وعامه ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم تب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على حبيبي سيدنا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. We can sit in on Miraqba for a few minutes, so please close your eyes, concentrate on your heart and feel that some light is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and entering in my heart, and my heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. Don't say it with your tongue. Feel that your heart is saying it and you are listening it. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. We can make dua please. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے اللہ ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین بندے ہیں, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, خطاؤں سے درگزر فرما, عیبوں کی بردپوشی فرما. اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما, دلوں کو صاف فرما, سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما, اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما. हमारे अंग अंग से अपने जिक्र को जारी फरमा, रूए रूए से जिक्र को जारी फरमा, हड्डी हड्डी बोटी बोटी में अपनी मोहब्बत पैदा फरमा, आने वाले वक्त को गुजरे वक्त बेहतर फरमा, आने वाली जिंदगी को गुजरे जिंदगी का कफारा बना। अल्लाह जितने हाजरीन मौजूद हैं या दूर बैठे इस महफिल में शरीक हैं, सबके दिल की नेक मुरादों को पूरा फरमा। अल्लाह सबके अटके कामों का होना आसान फरमा, सबके उलझे कामों को अपनी रहमत से सुलझा, हमारी इन दुआओं को अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमा। अल्लाह बे औलादों को नेक औलाद अता फरमा, जो साहिब औलाद उनकी औलादों को हितोकार बना, फरमाबरदार बना, माँ बाप की आंखों की ठंडक बना। जिन घरों में जवान बच्चे बच्चियां मौजूद हैं, अल्लाह बच्चों के मुस्तकबिल को रोशन फरमा, माँ बाप के लिए उनके फर्ज अदा करने आसान फरमा। सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही सैयदना मुहम्मद व आलिही व असहाबिही अजमाईन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।